Welcome to the EP Energizer, a podcast from the CESA 6 Growth and Development Center. My name is Amy Bindis, and I'll be your host today. The intention of this podcast is to encourage school administrators to bring a high level of anabolic or uplifting energy to the important process of staff growth and development during this school year. Our focus today is on the communication and community relations standard of effective school leadership. Being effective in this standard is defined as communicating with, collaborating with, and engaging stakeholders to promote understanding, support, and continuous improvement of the school's programs and services that are aligned with the school's vision. During the pandemic, Strong & Associates have underscored the following nuances to the indicators for effective communication and community relations. Number one, ensures all stakeholder groups are represented in and have access to our communication in an effective and timely manner. Number two, establishes visibility and accessibility via online and socially distanced platforms. Number three, collaborates with school leaders within and outside of the school district for relevant ideas due to COVID-19. Number four, advocates for the school community as needed during COVID-19. Number five, communicates abbreviated and streamlined missions and expectations. And number six, maintains or creates innovative avenues for parent and family involvement in school activities. Whew, that's a lot. I'm sure you feel that this year has been nothing but receiving and communicating messages and then clearing up the confusion that may have come or reissuing new messages days later. You know, a quick funny story about communication at this time involves my husband going to get a haircut. He was wearing a mask and so was the stylist. She asked a question regarding what size of clippers to use and he misunderstood her. Needless to say, although hair grows back, it took his about 3 months to get back to quote-unquote normal. I thought the acronym of MASK or mask may resonate with many of us at this time. So let's discuss communication and community relations during the pandemic using an acronym we are all familiar with, MASK, M-A-S-K, Message, Articulation, Sensibility, and Kindness. So let's begin with M, the message itself. Components of the message include clarity and purpose. You know, before you communicate something, the importance of the message lies solely with you. You fully understand the nature, background, and importance of the message. You will want to reflect on your thoughts about the message itself. Did it take you a while to understand it completely? What about those that received the message? Might they need background information, time to process, or might they need to hear it multiple times before it really sticks? As the originator of the message, you must predict how your message may be misinterpreted or misunderstood before you even attempt to communicate it. Clarity here is critical. Is your message organized? Is it clear? And is it succinct and to the point? If you're able, it might help you to run the message by someone you trust beforehand to get feedback on its clarity. You may also want to consider the experiences and/or cultural lens of the receiver or receivers of your message. As the provider of the communication, you can't assume that the receivers understand things the way you do. Now, you may or may not be able to give specific background information, but communicating that the background information you gathered is influencing your message in any way that you can will help them better understand where you're coming from and your intention so that they might support the message. They are then better able to see their role in the action needed and understand the consequences involved in maybe not following through. Cultural differences may also influence how communication is received. Remember that culture refers to a person's race, ethnicity, gender, sexual identity, gender identity, socioeconomic status, ability status, language, religion, and even marital status. Aspects of culture combine to provide a sense of identity to a person and a history of how they or a group of people may experience interactions with society. The value of trying to understand how the receiver may be experiencing the information included in your message before you communicate it cannot be underestimated. Sticking with the M of message, now consider the purpose of the message. Are you communicating general information to support your shared vision? Or are you communicating specific details that need more acute attention? After clarifying your own understanding, as well as the content and purpose of the message, you can then move into the A in our MASK acronym, how to properly articulate the message. Articulation refers to the mode of communication you choose to articulate the message. The mode or method will depend on whether the message is formal or informal, whether or not there's a chain of command regarding how and when others receive the message, and whether it needs to be easily referred back to in the future. Picking the wrong method of communication may be disastrous. For example, if you're trying to communicate a sensitive message over social media, oh, that might not be good. Or communicating a message requiring documentation over the phone, that's a mistake as well. There are many methods of communication, including, but of course not limited to, face-to-face, virtual platforms, recorded video, social media, broadcast media, telephone, email, electronic files, and even sharing hard copy written documents. There are pros and cons of each when considering how to articulate your message, especially during a global pandemic. What may be easiest might not be most effective, and what may seem the most formal may not be the most sensitive. So as you think about some of the pros and cons of the various channels, consider the following situation. Your teachers have been through a lot, of course, just like you have this year. And your building leadership team has discussed a change in the formal process of employee evaluation for next year. Denise, the building principal, brought the suggestions to the district administrative team. And as a result, the district team changed some of the decisions made by the building team, but decided to go forward. Denise had a lot to communicate to her staff. She wanted the building leadership team to understand what they could know about the district-level conversation. She also had to communicate the changes to her entire staff so they were clear on why the new processes were developed, what the new processes are, and where to go with current and future questions. She then had to consider a staff member who was on a plan of assistance and how the changes would affect him personally. So as you think about each situation Denise was faced with, did you identify different channels of communication that would work better in each situation? Now consider the cons of each method. You may be realizing that seeing all sides of communication requires time and attention. After deciding how to articulate the message, the next step of our MASK, M-A-S-K acronym, refers to the S, sensibility. People receiving 150 emails and above a day may miss critical details of time-sensitive information if you email them. Procedures communicated only once may not be completely understood by receivers and need to be repeated. So being sensible in your expectations of your receivers helps you plan for and identify roadblocks before they're encountered. A sensible, savvy leader recognizes how much communication his or her staff, parents, or students are exposed to on any given day, and you become selective in your communication. You will need to find the sweet spot between communicating with and overwhelming those you serve. Maybe developing a mode of regular communication that they expect on a certain day or a certain time of day, so that they know anything outside of that communication might be very, very important. So now let's move it to the K in MASK, and that simply refers to kindness. As a communicator, strive to demonstrate kindness in your communication. Realize that communication is a two-way street. Knowing that some receivers may hold a much different view on a certain message than you, or they may have several questions. Demonstrate kindness by gathering multiple perspectives, as many as you can ahead of time, and by having channels in place for follow-up questions and for feedback. Kindness equates to listening and understanding others. Communicating with kindness contributes to the trust that you have established within your organization. It means that stakeholders can easily share ideas that they may not have polished yet without judgment. Being kind means being aware of another important factor, which is stress. Stress can impact you and the receiver. It can impact how a message is given, as well as how it's received. As the giver, stress can prompt you to act reactively and without thinking, leading to communicating a message you later regret. Stress can also block the receiver from hearing the true intent of your message, leading the receiver to immediately think negative thoughts. So be aware if either you or the receiver are under stress during the communication process, and consider how you might lessen that stress. We've all had to communicate through a mask this year. Remembering the acronym of MASK, or MASK, as you continue to communicate both now and in the future may help you. Think of the message, how to articulate it, the sensibility of it, and doing it with kindness will help you both now and in the future. And it might also contribute to a successful haircut as well. As always, we're here at the Growth and Development Center to support your growth and development journey in any way we can. Have a great day.